That's not our avodah. So how do we balance that? How do I live my life? Have pizza like every other Rosh Chodesh, come to a shiur, but at the same time feel, empathize. Which one is it? After all is said and done, these sort of emotions beg the complexity of a human being. Human beings are so complex, capable of feeling so many different things at exactly the same time. And that's precisely the beauty of a human being. It takes us back to a very famous insight about the ability of Klal Yisrael to sing. So the ability of Klal Yisrael to sing goes back to us Yashir, when we were first saved, really saved from Paro. We felt secure, we felt it was okay, and we felt spontaneously that it was time to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Angels up in heaven, Malachim and Shemayim, also wanted to sing. But when they wanted to sing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Ma'aseh yada itoivim bayom va'atem oimrim shira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu silences them. Says it's disrespectful, it's in bad taste. Because there were human beings who lost their life. And every human being, whether or not they were a tzaddik or a rasha, is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's in bad taste to sing and to rejoice over the fact that now Mitzrim are gone and Jews are safe. So the Malachim were silenced. But Klal Yisrael was not silenced. That's not only then for the people who were saved, but it's for us. Every single Pesach, we still go and we sing. But the Medrash tells us that although we sing, we take out a few of the Kapitla Chavdelim. We take out two of the chapters. And by doing that, it shows that it's bittersweet to us. It shows that we're able to sing while simultaneously also balancing some level of sympathy for the loss of life which happened to Mitzrayim. And the obvious question on this Medrash is that then why are the angels not given the same solution? When the angels wanted to sing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu silences them. He closes it. It's over. The angels are incapable of saying anything if they can't be fully happy. But human beings are given a very different direction. We're given balance that's in a certain sense inconsistent. We're told to sing and we're told to cry. You can do both at the same time. It's very similar on the Seder night when a person is in the middle of talking about the Makos. You think when you talk about the Makos from a humanitarian perspective, something that's so politically charged right now. So the Makos are a very difficult concept. They really are. Because they prove HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory, they prove HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength, and they saved Klal Yisrael, and they brought us a lot of Emunah, but they brought a lot of suffering to people. Basic humanitarian crisis. When we say the Makos, so the minhag comes that we take out a little bit from the cup of wine. It's a very difficult thing, because we're in the middle of singing about the Makos. So we sing about the Makos, but you also take out a little bit from the cup. The same thing to a certain degree exists on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the complexity of the day overwhelms, to a certain extent, what it is that we feel. The Gemara says, we don't say challah. We don't say Allah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We don't sing, even though it's a yomtiv. It's a moed. It's in the parsha of the moedim. But we don't sing. The reason is, the Gemara says, it came from what happened in Shemayim. The angels turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, how come Klal Yisrael are not singing today? Isn't it a yomtiv? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the angels, he says, no. He says, the Sifri Chaim, the Sifri Mesim, Sukhum Lefonav, and Hamam Rashira. It's again, it's in bad taste. We're scared about our lives. We're so intimidated. We're frightened. We're being judged. We're uncomfortable to sing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's hard for us to relate to it as a Yom Tov, as a happy and joyous day. But Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur do have a sense of being joyous. We paskin that a person is not supposed to fast. The person is supposed to eat the meat on Rosh Hashanah. You have to be uplifted, spend time with your family, sing. But you're also nervous for your life. Rizal says that every B'yid who doesn't shed a tear at some point over Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur has something to worry about. So we're caught. We're inconsistent. That's exactly the beauty in being a human being. It means that you're alive. A sense of life is when you can balance complexity. and you're pulled in different directions, and you have a little bit of both. Halacha, as much as we like to define that it's absolute sometimes in a practical sense. Should I do it or should I not do it? The answer is either yes or no, usually. But if you really study where halacha comes from, you'll see that it's never black and white. Very rarely. So the chicken that comes to the Rav in the Europe with the shayla on treifas, it's a different if the shayla came on Thursday than if the shayla came on Friday. There's a certain halacha, an interesting thing about a chalan pot, we'll call it, that was cooking on the stove and a little splatter of milk hit the outside of the pot. Very complex halacha shayla, what happens then? So complex that the posukim say that there is a makom lehefsek to be makom, but you should only do it on Erev or Shabbos. It's Friday, you could be makel. So again, so that's black and white. If it's Friday, you're makel. If it's Thursday, you're not. But to think about that, and understand the way that we usually perceive halacha, so it's complex. Because a human being is incapable of being single dimension. Halacha takes over my life, and now I lose my Shabbos meal. So that's very different. So halacha becomes how to juggle being pulled in different directions. Certain times, the Gemara tells us, that if you're deciding halacha, you're deciding what the bottom line is, so there are times when shalom will override, where shalom will be a guiding light. You can override what would transcend to a certain degree what would regularly be the law. So much of practice, so much of halacha that we have today is based upon dispute and resolution of disputes, which only further intensifies the complexity in all. So I'm just trying to give you a flavor that human beings are very capable of being complicated. You know, I think all of us had a difficult Simchas Torah, but it wasn't an easy time. Certainly the moment, you know, I found out as a shul rav, suddenly the news catches you. You don't know what to do. We didn't know, it was like a minute before challah. We found out, how do you say challah? So I was thinking about the Gemara, Sifri Chaim, the Mesim Sukh Lafon of Adam and Shira. Do you do it subdued? Is it less festive, more festive? Should I be talking about it on Yom Tov? How much Tehillim should be said? Are you allowed to ask Bakash? So many questions were racing through my mind. And I thought I had it hard. Thought I had to make difficult choices on the fly. Then I realized, and afterwards I confirmed this, that there was a much greater complexity that took place in Eretz Yisrael. Many yeshivas, but I'll just say one that I was close to that I heard it, exactly this phenomenon. In the Mir yeshiva, there are multiple levels. Just like this building has different floors, there are multiple levels. And one base medrash on Simchas Torah was dedicated for Americans to have a chutzal aretz minyan and to dance. And another level was dedicated to the Israelis, who were not observing Yom Tov. It was Sunday for them, so they had a regular minyan. So simultaneously, there's minyan for Israelis, and they were saying minyan, and they were crying, and they're saying tehillim after minyan, mishaber ach tehillim. And downstairs, where the Americans are, they're dancing Simchas Torah. So the sounds of dancing reach the people who are crying. So how insensitive is that? Is it insensitive? I'll leave it as a question. But if you can appreciate the question, and I won't weigh in, I don't want to weigh in, I want you to realize that it's complicated. Complicated is the best. Sometimes you have to know what to do also. But the first most important step is to realize that it's complicated. And I think if you look at anything, unfortunately, in the world right now, maybe if I'm allowed to say, perhaps even on both sides to a certain degree, even though we know we are on the right side. Course, but to a certain degree on both sides, can we realize that it's complicated? And the first thing, whenever, fortunately, if you ever get dragged into some sort of debate in Israeli history, Hamas, whatever it is, the hardest point is that it's always black and white, and it's never black and white. It's very, very hard to be tolerant, to understand, to let alone to empathize with anyone, with any. Without understanding that it's more complicated. It's very okay as a human being to accept complexity. But given that, and I think that's such an important introduction, be pulled in different directions, to focus on what you need to focus on and still leave room in your hearts and minds to empathize. I want to just give you one, I think, idea of what you can do. There's a Gemara in Shavuos, a Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed Hey, where the Gemara discusses the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a name is of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is written, so then it has Kedusha. If it has Kedusha, so then one of the halachas is you can't erase the name of Hashem. It's forbidden. Losasim Kain, it's allowed in the Torah. Furthermore, one is able to take the name of Hashem and you're able to swear. You're able to make a shvua using the name of Hashem. So it's very important for there in the context of the Gemara to identify what are the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what are not the shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's one name particularly I want to focus on where there's a dispute if it is the name of Hashem. And the word is Tzivakos. You know, we say all the time, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos. Hashem is holy. Hashem Tzivakos. What does Tzivakos mean? So it means that Hashem is armies. Like a tzava. Like a legion. Hashem is many armies. Simple idea is that he has armies of angels. But we'll talk about it also that he has armies of people. So is Tzivakos a description of Hashem, and it's a name that describes the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore holy? So most opinions in the Gemara hold that it is. But Rabbi Yossi says that it's not. He says, Lo nemar Tzivakos ela Hashem Yisrael. Tzivakos is a description of Klal Yisrael. He quotes for us a pasuk in Parshas Va'era. In Parshas Va'era, the Jewish people are enslaved in Mitzrayim, in the horrors of slavery, worst of times to power. And Moshe Rabbeinu comes with a message and he says, Hashem told me, I will take out my army from here. And we see that Sivosai in that particular context is a reference to the Jewish people. We are the army of God. So Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos means that Hashem's holiness is manifest, is expressed in our army serving Him. But it's a description of us. It's not a description of Hashem. Hashem is not the arm. It's not a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a name that relates to us. We are identified as being the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi paskens, you could erase the words of others, which is a very interesting opinion. So what does that mean, to be part of the army? I think now, I don't know if you're doing particularly any chesed for the IDF. I'm sure you are on some level. But It's extremely elusive. It's very hard. In our school now, like, we're doing a lot of campaigning, fundraising, but also just literally like packing of duffel bags, literal duffel bags with equipment that they need, trying to get it to them. And it's really beautiful watching people come together, elevate themselves, go out to Costco, get those bags, get the materials, come, gather, drive to the airport, find someone, make sure it's okay with customs, a lot of details that go into it. And all of it is because we're desperately trying to help the army. And that's so, so crucial and so important. And it shows such a desire on any level that we possibly can to be a part of the army. And that's such an important point, such a crucial idea. What are you doing for the army? Think about that army. Without that army, it's hard to think of yourself. Very difficult. Imagine in Israel without an army. So of course, we need to step up with the army. But again, I'm not literally on the front lines. I'm not literally in the army. I can maybe pack a duffel bag. I can certainly pray for them. And I can certainly think about them. But I myself, on a spiritual level, not on a literal level, but on a spiritual level, am in an army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a part of an army. So what am I doing? What does that mean to be in the army of Hashem? So I think first and foremost, it's so important to realize that the war that exists now in Israel, you're very much a part of what they are trying to destroy. Sometimes the fight takes place with guns and weapons and missiles. But what they are trying to eradicate is you. And that's so important to realize that what you're fighting is exactly what they are trying to destroy. Realize that the war includes you as well. To a certain degree, when you're fighting this war, you're reading these parashios, Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, realize that in a simplified thing, there's always been a good in the world and evil in the world. And you want to make sure that you're fighting for the side of good. You want to make sure that you're protecting the side of good and putting yourself and aligning yourself with that. Making sure that that's what you represent. That's number one, that you are an army representing goodness in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that task and he said, I want you to represent the best side in the world. Be good. People should look at you and they should see good. Fight for that good. So that's first of all what it means to be in the army of Hashem. It means to represent good in this world. It's a horrible story about a boy from the Holocaust, a 7-8-year-old boy who was being taken out to be murdered. And before he was taken out to be murdered, he was being tortured. Obviously such a current and relevant thought. And as he was being tortured, he said to the German who was hurting him, he said as follows. He says, I understand that you're going to kill me. I get what's coming to me. And I understand that this is happening because I am the children of Yaakov. And he said, I see you as Esav and I am Yaakov. But even though all of this is happening to me, I always want to be on the side of Yaakov. It's a certain simplicity. It's a certain basic statement. This is happening to you because you're the child of Yaakov. You represent good. You represent godliness in the world. You represent the ability of a human being to be compassionate, to care, to lead, to affect, all of what we know Judaism to stand for. That's your part of this war. To stand up to that, to be in the army means to resist someone who's trying to take that away. So it might be a personal question, and it might be that being a soldier in this army will vary from person to person and circumstance to circumstance. But you have to elevate. You gotta elevate within your routine, within your regular life, within your regular classes, within your relationships, within everything that's going on. How are you representing good on a higher level? What are you doing to fight back against this war against good? I don't know how many of you are American history experts. I certainly am not. And I almost like the fact that I don't know exactly what I'm going to say right now. But I do know that at some point in American history, there's that famous sign, that famous banner that says, with that face, and it says, Uncle Sam needs you. Right? Now, I literally don't know where that came from. I don't know what year it's from. I don't know which war. But
World,
really
War One. World War One.
World War One. Amazing. Why exactly don't I care? And I think this is the point. How many people you knew that was World War One, by the way? That's okay. I'm embarrassed. But here's the point. The point is, the Uncle Sam is not someone you know. It's not someone you're passionate about. It's certainly not someone that you're even sure if you're willing to sacrifice for. Uncle Sam is the alter ego, the something in there, the America that you would want to fight for. That's the Uncle Sam. That's the concept. So step up, Uncle Sam needs you, but who's Uncle Sam? But imagine it's not Uncle Sam, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs you. So the message resonates a little bit different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs you for the arm. Put you in the world, and the world is fighting against good. You have to fight. How do we fight? How do we step up our game? How do we represent good in a better way? Sometimes it's really simple. It can be doing another mitzvah, learning more Torah, being better. All of that's true. But I want to just emphasize one word, and we'll come back to the chizuk in a second, is that it's not always about chizuk. And again, I mean this, I don't mean this to be controversial. But it's only been 1 week. Only been 1 week. And as a leader, it's getting harder and harder to give shiurim about chizuk. Because naturally we want to learn. We want to grow. We want Torah. You want to hear Torah about Mar Cheshvan. You want to live Mar Cheshvan. You want to be able to live Hanukkah. There's so much to discuss. I had a shiur last Thursday. I give a Navi shiur every week. Fortunate too. I had a call from the person in the shiur and they said to me, maybe the shiur should be canceled this week in light of what's going on. What does that mean? So that you should spend an hour on your phones reading about the atrocities instead of studying Torah? So that doesn't mean not to empathize. Chas v'shalom, of course, if there's a time and a place to take out the phone and empathize. But to realize that we have to be in the army, you have to fight. To allow your routine to step up, to grow in this time because of what's happening. You're fighting a war. You're representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So of course we have to say the Tehillim. We have to put ourselves in every single thing we can do for the literal army. But to relate it to yourself after the Tehillim is closed, that's where the Tehillim in a certain way is a means. It shouldn't be the end. You don't say Tehillim and be potter. That's not the point. It's meant to inspire, to affect, but then there's you, and then you and your life. And that's where we come in and we want to be better people. We want to be uplifted. You know, every time, there's different ways of saying this part, but I'm not sure exactly who said it, but I want to quote him anyway. So I've heard it quoted in his name, the Piasecki Rebbe, and he was in the Warsaw Ghetto. It's part of the whole uprising, everything that took place. And a lot of the Torah which he wrote was written during that time. I want to mention him before I share this particular insight, because it exactly kind of brings out this point. You ever look at the Torah that he has, the sichos that he has, which were said on Lel Shabbos Kodesh in the Warsaw Ghetto. It's incredible how packed in content they are related to the parasha. Meaning, when you are in the middle of the Warsaw Ghetto and you come Friday night to the Rebbe, what are you going to want to hear? Chizuk. That's probably what you're looking for. Pick me up. Make me feel better. I don't want to be sad. Maybe that's true. But the Rebbe didn't just do that. It wasn't just straight talk about emotions and current events. It was uplifting through Torah. So much Torah directly on the parasha. Of course, he related it and that inspired them and it uplifted them. But to understand, you can't neglect the routine. You can't neglect your regular studies. You can't neglect the regular Torah in front of you. Step it up, elevate it, and you'll see how it's relevant to your life. And I'll show you one part that he said, which I think is exactly this point. Every time we complete the Torah, a sefer in the Torah, when we read from a sefer Torah, we say, Chazak, Chazak, v'nischazek. So it's many of them, a very hard phrase to understand. The truth is that it's hard to understand where it comes from to do it. If you study these things and where customs develop from, it's very hard to know where in the world that came from. Chazak, Chazak, v'nischazek. Maybe for another time. But let's just accept it at face value that there's a premise that after we complete something in the Torah, so we say chazek, chazak, chazak, v'nischazek. What are we saying? What's the double lashon? Chazak, chazak, and then eventually v'nischazek. So you'll see, you know, we discussed David HaMelech so much when, as was mentioned here, this idea of everything from Tehillim comes from David. So there's actually one place in Tehillim where it says, v'yischazek David. It's not a test if you don't know where it is. It's at the end of Shmuel Aleph. And if you actually look it up in context, it's really an uncanny thing over here. The context is that all of David's family was taken captive. And when they were taken captive and they all disappeared, they were taken by the Amaleki, David comes back and he comes to his camp and he sees his wife, his two wives and the children, everybody's gone and everybody's there. And not only that, David had an entourage of 600 people who wanted to stone him. They were upset at him. So he's running away from Shaul, and now his own little entourage wants to kill him, and he thinks all of his family is lost as well. So the pasuk says that David started to cry, and he cried more and more, and he couldn't stop crying. And the Medrash says that that was the lowest point in David HaMelech's life. He couldn't stop crying. And then the pasuk says, "Vayischazek David." What does that mean? Vayischazek David. How? With what? He can't stop crying. What's Vayischazek? So one of the, again, many different thoughts here. I've gone off on the Eish Kodesh. I'm going to try to get to his point. But, you know, one of the most frustrating things in this time as a Rav is people say, give me chizuk, uplift me. It's very hard to have words that can change a person's mood or a person's feelings or sadness. Very, very difficult. But when you tell a person, be strong, chazik, strengthen yourself, it's very hard to do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told that in context to Yeshua when he gave him a Sefer Torah, he gave him the tools, and it was the highest moment. He didn't give him an instruction and a guidance to be strong in a moment of weakness. He gave it to him and the cops right when they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael with a new Sefer Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promising everything was going to be good. So that's the type of person, be strong. But to tell David HaMelech be strong after he sees his wife and children taken captive and he wants to deal with the 600 people trying to kill him. So how do you tell a person, be strong? Very hard. And the answer is that you can't tell a person to be strong. You can say it, but it's futile. Because it's an instruction, be strong. So you try once, be strong. Then you're still not strong. So you try again, be strong. It still doesn't work. So what happens? What happens is something which cannot be explained. The inexplicable. It's not something you do, but something that happens to you. And that's important. Vayischazek David. Vinischazek is in the reflexive. You can't be strong, but you can become strong. To be strong is a futile attempt. What am I doing? How do I overcome it? What words do I use? What do I tell my emotions? We don't have an answer to that. Chazek, be strong. But by Yischazek, Krem. And that's the inexplicable growth that is part of all of us. We don't know exactly the way that it works. But the more that you work on yourself, the more that you elevate yourself, the more that you grow, the more that you do what you're supposed to do and take on a little bit more, you become stronger. And that's the meaning of the Nischazek. To push this, to position yourself in the right surroundings, in the right context, to show up to more Tehillim, to show up to more Shiurim, to do more mitzvahs, to be a better friend, to be a better daughter, everything that's involved in what the way of person that you should be will end up in Nischazek. You'll become stronger. Our HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you the strength, the ability to deal with the issues in front of you. But you gotta be a soldier. That's the message. It's not about giving chizuk. Giving chizuk sometimes in a certain sense can actually be a little bit selfish. If you're trying to feel better. It's more than about trying to feel better. It's about knowing that I'm a soldier and I have a mission and Hashem wants something from me. Finding out what Hashem wants from me. That's what it is. What we can do. You hear so much about this now. What can we do? What is the answer? That's the question that we focus on. I'm a soldier of God. What can I do to make myself better? I think deep down, we each know it. We all know it. It's been some of the beautiful things you see, the things that almost naturally we want to do when we know we're supposed to be better. When you do that, you're serving Hashem. You're on the front lines in this great Muhammad between good and evil. And when you do that, you're an ambassador. You represent good. You're representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with that, you have the Havtach, the Nischazek, that we should become strong. And we know that it's going to happen. Sometimes the chazak falls, fails, and we're not sure how it's going to happen. But do put yourself as a soldier, and the nischazek will come. So, I give us a bracha that any future shiurim that we give shouldn't have to be only about chizuk. And we should be able to talk about the regular Torah that we should and deserve to learn. But in the meantime, we should be zocha to a beautiful chodesh, a chodesh of tova, a bracha, a shalom, Haftach lanu ulechol Yisrael. We should hear only the Sorah's Tovas from one another.
I want to thank Rabbi Gettinger for those beautiful words. And just to remind everybody, you know, again, during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we believe in the power of Chesed.